is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
On the eve of the meeting between the President of the United States, Joseph Biden, and Xi Jinping, the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, in California, the occasion on the sidelines of the APEC meeting about the development of the whole of the Pacific. But right now, the concern is on one small part of the Pacific. That would be East Asia. That would be the South China Sea. And at the top of the South China Sea is the island of Taiwan, threatened routinely by the Chinese Communist Party, by the PLA, Navy, by Xi Jinping and his counselors and lieutenants. What is to be done? The U.S. Navy has an answer, which is to reinforce. The United States of America has an answer, which is to make certain that Taiwan has everything it needs to defend itself. But I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, looking at the war plans as we understand it from the PRC's point of view. This is an island of uncertain population, but a lot of geographical oddities that will require attention by the PLA if it is to invade or reduce it to cinders. That's a choice it must make. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The war plans, they're evolving as you write. How so? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, the interesting thing is that General Secretary Xi has come to understand that the PLA is neither ready to engage in a kinetic operation against Taiwan, the Republic of China, nor is it reliable. And he is now embarked on a purge of the PLA, which could take as long as a year. It's very much akin to the scale of the purge of the military undertaken by Stalin in the USSR immediately before the Soviet Union was thrust into that war with Germany. So Xi has got a number of dilemmas. One, the PLA not ready, and there are a lot of factors in that. There's purging the leadership. Two, the economy is not fit to sustain a long war, nor are there sufficient reserves of food. Thirdly, Xi is now under intense pressure from his opponents within the Communist Party of China, even though he spent literally years attempting to purge all of his opponents to take the top spot. So how does he proceed from here? He has not resiled from his desire to conquer Taiwan and the Republic of China and bring Taiwan into the fold of the People's Republic of China. But he really can't get there. And unless he does something in the near future, this will become an impossible goal. And the whole theme of his leadership will have been stolen, and his popularity, already at a very low ebb, will go down even further. So what can he do? Well, certainly, even though there are evident signs of panic by Xi Jinping, including now the necessity to make friends again with Washington. This has become dramatic in the last few days. There's an almost servile approach to build symbols of friendship between Washington and the PRC in preparation for Xi Jinping's meeting with President Biden. Yes, there's difficulty in getting a substantive agreement in San Francisco, but that's mainly window dressing. The thing is for Xi to regain the credibility of the approval of the United States. So you know he's in bad shape domestically if that's the case. But he's still proceeding with his option to try to seize Taiwan because, as I say, his credibility depends on it. So how is he going to do that, considering that a military invasion would almost certainly be a disaster for mainland China? So one of the things he will do, and he's been building up to this, is imposing a blockade on Taiwan. That would be, if he could, a complete maritime, air, and communication quarantine of the island. And that's something which would look very powerful. It would initially cause stock markets around the world to collapse, or at least suffer, and it would raise the necessity of the U.S. and its allies and Taiwan's allies to go to Taiwan's rescue, to literally breach that quarantine by the People's Liberation Army and escort convoys or individual ships in and out of Taiwanese ports, and it would be very expensive, and that's a very risky proposition. To go further than that, if she felt he could get away with it, or if it was a justifiable risk on his part, he would also then attempt to cut the undersea communications cables which connect Taiwan with the outside world. This would be disastrous for Taiwanese trade and for the world trade. And bearing in mind that if Taiwan stops its supply of advanced computer chips, even for a week or a month or several months, that would be economically disastrous for much of the world, including, by the way, the People's Republic of China. But it would absolutely critically wound the Taiwanese economy in particular. And we know that Beijing has considered that, and they've taken note of the ambiguity which surrounded the September 2022 explosions, which cut the Nord Stream gas pipelines, which were going from Russia to Germany in the Baltic Sea. It took almost a year before blame could reliably be placed on the government of Ukraine for undertaking that incident. Yes, it would be much more obvious that Beijing had ordered the interdiction of Taiwan's extensive cables, but it would be still possible, and it would definitely inhibit the way the outside world came to Taiwan's aid. Certainly, there would be a lot of support in alternate communications methods for Taiwan, including things like Starlink coming in from SpaceX in the United States and the like. Now, we know also from watching some of the gaming that's been going on in the PRC that they have considered taking out Taiwan's Seoul defense surveillance satellite. They've also considered the possibility of doing up to 3 low Earth orbit nuclear explosions to generate electromagnetic pulses, which would put out all of the world's GPS satellites and communication satellites, not all of them, but a great number of them. And this would be really interesting because it would also take out the People's Republic of China's own satellites. Now, this is a probably unlikely event because that would definitely be an act of war against the entire world, and that would be an act of real desperation if Beijing got into that situation, or if Xi Jinping got himself into that situation. The interesting thing that even that would not necessarily be a war-winning strategy if Xi Jinping literally went off the rails and took that course of action, largely because you've got a series of U.S. private sector space launch companies, including SpaceX and Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic and so on, that could literally launch replacement GPS and communications and surveillance satellites within days and in large numbers. So the PRC would only do that if they thought that they needed to make moves within a short, few-day period to win their conflict. It would be the Space Pearl Harbor, which has been talked about. But that's unlikely to happen. But what we do see is that Xi Jinping is still looking at ways in which he could both get the Americans off his back in the short term and still pursue the objective of basically destroying the government in Taiwan. And to do that, he would probably need to wait and see how the January presidential elections in Taiwan go, because there was some thought that if the DPP, the current ruling party, got back into office, then that would be hostile to Beijing and probably mean that she would undertake some kind of action against Taiwan before the new DPP president, which the current vice president, if he gets elected, would be sworn into office in May of next year. So that gives you a time window for some kind of operations by the PRC. And we're only looking now at these other, if you like, non-direct or but still pretty serious attempts by the PRC to initiate its plan to take over Taiwan. As well, we know that what we're going to see with the Xi-Biden meeting in San Francisco is a lot of face-saving rhetoric by both parties that look very earnest, that look substantive, but it's doubtful whether they will come to any meaningful agreement which can be counted on to change the course of history.
Puzzled, Gregory. The response from the U.S., if I read you correctly, is not going to be the fleet. It will be to resupply Taiwan in some fashion with communications, because cut off, Taiwan doesn't have an economy. So we will take the role that we've taken in Ukraine, everything for Ukraine, but not American military personnel, not American warships. So we'll send everything we can under escort, or we'll put up satellites for Taiwan, or we'll substitute, what you'd have to say, a lifeline to Taiwan, but we won't fight. Is that how you see it?
Well, I don't think that the West would not fight to support Taiwan. Quite the contrary. But I think that if Beijing offers the soft option, in other words, it does a what it would call a unilateral quarantining of Taiwan, and on the basis that it's, in their terms, a part of China, then the U.S. and Japan, particularly Japan's response would be, okay, we're not going to tolerate that. We are going to break the blockade, escorting the trade, the air and naval, maritime trade into Taiwan. And if you attack our protective convoys, then that would be an act of war and you would be at war with the United States. So it's basically calling Beijing's bluff. And that's probably where it would go. Now, the question is, how far would Beijing want to try a blockade if it knows that that bluff is going to be called, and the penalty for losing that bluff would be a direct war with the United States, Japan, and also Australia, and probably India, and the like. So there are all kinds of what-ifs in that scenario, but one thing we know for sure is that Xi cannot count on the PLA being ready for an actual conflict with the US and Japan, either one, but particularly a combination of the two or a combination of several other allies such as Australia and India. So it's a great dilemma for Xi. He has to save face one way or another, and he's got to do it pretty quickly, because otherwise it looks like his opponents in Beijing and in the Communist Party of China or within the PLA will undertake his removal or his containment, shall we say.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, speaking of the evolving plans by the PRC to reacquire Taiwan. The soft answer, the soft version is quarantine. Recently, the Prime Minister of Australia, integral part of AUKUS and the defense of Taiwan, has visited Beijing. What did we learn about the restart of the conversation between Canberra and Beijing? Gregory Copley, I'm John Battle.